Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
If you have your Bibles with you, you can open up to Hebrews chapter 12. The message today is titled Unshakable. I want to talk to you about having a faith that cannot be shaken. Also, if you do not have a Bible, if you have a phone, you have a Bible. So go to Bible Gateway, and there you go. We're using the English Standard Version. You select that version on your phone. You can follow along. Also, in your notes, we have everything up here. You can also have on your phone, share it on Facebook, whatever you want to do with that. But there's a lot of things that have been happening this year, yeah, that are different. I would say the year 2017 is a year of shaking. Would you not say that? Things have been shaking this year. We had an election. We had an election that really surprised, I think, most of us. Some are happy, some are not too happy about it. But it was a shaking. This was a year for record-breaking natural disasters. We've had crazy hurricanes that just wiped out people's lives in Texas. Their homes gone. We had that fire in California. Again, never seen anything like that before. And so this has been a year where people have been shaken in their lives and have lost really everything, and sometimes even family members. And so when our lives are shaken like that, when we don't have those things that we trusted in, those things that we anchored our lives to, those things that made us feel secure, how do we go on? How do we live life? How do we handle it? And I wanted to talk to you this morning about that, because that's real. And I wanted to share from this chapter because the book of Hebrews is a book that is written to the Jewish Christians in Israel that are going through a hard, hard time. They are enduring so much, and they're feeling a little bit weak in their faith. And so the author of Hebrews, I believe this, Paul, he wants to strengthen their faith, and this is what he shares. He says this, "Therefore," starting verse 12, "therefore lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy, like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears." And then we're going to skip down to verse 25, and it says, "See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them from earth, how much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised yet once more, 'I will not shake only the earth, but also the heavens.'" This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. This is the key verse, 28. "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." Amen? "And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." Gang, we cannot be shaken because we are part of the kingdom of God. We are the kingdom of God. And I want to talk to you this morning about the instructions that he's given us here, because we could read that and go, yeah, okay. That sounds like other verses I've read. But there's a reason that he's saying the things he's saying. So let's take a look at that. How do we keep from being shaken? See, Notice that he says, strengthen your hands or your feet. He kind of gives us a picture of someone who's weak, right? Someone who is weary. The Christian who has become weary. Have you ever had a time in your life where you become weary trying to live the Christian life? It's kind of hard, right? You're trying to live a righteous life in a world that, let's be frank, it seems unjust. There's so much unrighteousness, so much injustice. I believe it's the prophet Habakkuk who said, Lord, why do we see so much injustice? Why do these evil people seem to be getting away with everything? And I try and live a right life. I try and live a holy life. And Lord, I'm hurting. What's going on? You ever feel like that? He says, "What determined to walk a straight path." That is, strengthen what? Your knees. And he's kind of given this metaphor of somebody who's physically tired, but he's talking about when you're spiritually weary inside, when you just feel like, man, I can't do this anymore. This is hard, Lord. And I just want to break from this Christian life. And some people take a longer break than they should, and they start getting strayed. They go stop going to church. They stop getting that encouragement, and they, you know. And you and I know, we have friends that are just kind of out there, straying. And it's not helping anything. So determined to walk a straight path. Keep your eyes in front of you. This is the Christian walk. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? We've got to keep our eyes on him. We look to the left and the right and what the world has to offer. We can stumble. It says, don't be put out of joint, right? He's talking about someone who trips or stumbles. I got to be careful here that I don't stumble over anything. I know that would look funny to you, but it would hurt for me. But we don't want to stumble in our walk with the Lord. We want to, but so we can't be looking all over here and walking. You ever see people on their phone? You know, they're out there, they're crossing the street. Now, if you do this, I won't out you, but, you know, you're walking on the phone, they're like this, you know, but they're not even looking at their feet, where their feet are going, they just walk up the curb, and it's just, but how many of us do that in our Christian life? Or are so preoccupied with the stuff around us, and we're not paying attention to Jesus, our eyes are not on him, and so we're not moving straight forward. And he says what? Pursue peace and holiness. Pursue peace and holiness. You know, there's a lot of angry people, aren't there, today in America? A lot of angry people. There was a day where people were screaming at the sky. I don't know what that was about. I thought it was weird. It's the day for people to scream at the sky. A whole bunch of people looking up and screaming and going, guys, that's kind of weird. But people are angry. They're upset. There's not a lot of peace. But you're not going to find peace when you're looking for it somewhere else. The peace comes from within. We need to go to the Prince of Peace. That is Jesus Christ. And it comes from within us. It is out of our heart that these good things come. Any conflict comes from the heart first. Therefore, peace comes from us, from within. And those of us that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we can draw on him for our peace. Amen? He can get peace in the midst of the most difficult times in our life. Now, pursue holiness. Holiness. What does holiness mean? You guys heard that term. And a lot of people think they know what holiness is, but get it wrong. Holiness means to be set apart for a particular purpose. When God says something is holy, it's set apart for a purpose, not to be used for any other thing. Think about this. In the temple, I don't know how many of you guys know about, if you've done a study on the old tabernacle, the Jewish tabernacle in the wilderness, or the old Jewish temple. And all these items are kind of a physical mirror of what's supposed to be in heaven in the throne room of God. And so you have this thing called the laver. The laver was, you know, like lavatory. A laver was this sink thing. And it was between the altar and the holy place. This is where the priest would go in. They would wash their hands. They would wash their feet. I don't think they put their feet up in it, but, you know, they wash their feet. They wash their hands. And they were ritually pure before they went to minister in the holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. Okay? Now, the laver was holy. It was set apart for a particular purpose. The priests would not be washing their dishes in the laver. Oh, yeah. Okay, are you holy? Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, I need the coffee cup and rinse it out here. They wouldn't do that, right? Now, let's make it a little more personal. Everybody has a toothbrush, right? A toothbrush is set apart holy unto you for a specific purpose, is it not? A toothbrush is for brushing your teeth, not your neighbor's teeth, not your kid's teeth, your teeth, right? And you go, what? Where is he going with this? Just give it a minute. So that toothbrush, say your kid, and if this has happened to you, I'm sorry, but say your kid, it doesn't want to do his chores and is feeling a little spiteful. He takes your toothbrush, and he goes and decides to clean the bathtub grout. I'm just going to get in nooks and crannies. I'll do my job. Oh, you don't even know what's coming, right? And he takes it, he puts it back. Tell me, Mom, Dad, would you be a little angry? Because he took something that was had a specific purpose. It was set apart wholly unto you for only one thing, right? And he used it for something that it was not designed for, made it dirty, and you're not going to brush your teeth again with that, are you? I hope not, right? Think about how God feels when we take our body, our minds, our hearts, and we use them in this life for things that are not what he designed for, not what he purposed us for. And it says this in Romans 6:13, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Amen? Couldn't be any clearer. So holiness is when our heart, mind, heart, body is we are the Lord's, and we give ourselves unto him. And that means what? Things that he's called sin, we need to stop doing. Amen? But see, like the toothbrush that gets thrown away, hopefully you throw it away. If we happen to stumble and use our lives for something unholy, God doesn't throw you and I away. Amen? We're not some old toothbrush to this card. God sees value and worth, and he says, I see that you have made yourself dirty. I see that you have sinned against me. Come. Let me cleanse you. You have a lot of layers of dirt. Okay, so I'm going to clean them off. Okay, well, you need a bath. Okay, we're going to give you a bath, all right. Right? Baptism. So washing, what? It's not the dirt off of your body, but you're washed anew in Jesus Christ. You see, he loves you so much. And he values you so much that he wants to use your life wholly for his purpose to call people unto him. And he will not throw you away. So no matter what you think you've done, if you think you're undeserving, you are not undeserving. He wants to draw you back to him. Amen? Is that good? I thought about the toothbrush thing. Well, let's go for it. Then he says something else. He says what? Avoid bitterness. Avoid bitterness. Don't let bitterness take root. Gang, you may have had things happen in your life. Maybe somebody has wronged you. Maybe there was somebody that you trusted as a good friend. You thought they were your friend, but you found out they were doing some things, or you found out they're not really your friend. And it hurts. Even more hard is you might have gone through a breakup with somebody You might have even gone through a divorce. It's hard when there is something that, or someone you've trusted in, and they've pulled away from you, right? And you can become bitter in your spirit. You become bitter in your heart. Sometimes things happen in our life, our loved ones are taken away from us far too early for, you know, than we want. Last year, both my wife and I lost our mothers. It was very hard. As well as one of Tammy's and I mothers, and within 3 weeks of each other. And so we were just being pounded, you know. But we held on to Jesus and said, you know what, Lord, I'm yours. I'm in your hands. My life is in your hands. I really wish you would have let her stay around longer, but you know what? I'll meet her one day. Amen? But we can become bitter in our hearts. We can become sore. And what bitterness does, whether it's against God or another person, it's a poison that you drink yourself. And what happens is it stops you from seeing life, seeing the good things in life. It stops you from looking at all the blessings that you have. And there are blessings. There are many blessings that you have, but you can't see them because you're bitter in your heart. Yeah. And it blocks you. It blinds us. Bitterness is a blinder. And so what he's saying here is don't let it even take root. Don't even give it a chance to take root in your life. Get that thing out. Now, how do you do that? I mean, that's a whole nother message. Amen. There's some. What I'm saying, it's hard. But you don't want to. Also, you don't want to become that person that is just run with bitterness. And then he talks about choosing the spiritual over the temporary. Now, this is interesting because he gives the illustration of Esau. Now, let me give some context to that. If you're not familiar with the Bible story, Jacob and Esau were brothers. And so you had Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So basically, Isaac and Rebekah, this is their kids. Now, Esau is the oldest son, and in that culture, he had a birthright. And the birthright, basically, you got 2/3 of your father's inheritance, and the younger sibling got 1/3, okay? So being the firstborn, he had the birthright, and Jacob, his younger brother, was kind of conniving. Basically, his name means deceiver, so it's not really the, yeah, it's interesting. Later, his name gets changed to Israel, okay? But he deceives his brother. And I'm not going to go into that whole story, how he does that this morning. We don't have a lot of time for that. But he deceives his brother into giving him his birthright. His brother is out hunting, and Jacob is a mama's boy. He's at home taking care of the household, taking care of mom. I'm not saying that in a negative way. He was mama's favorite, and that kind of played into it a little bit. But his brother comes back from the hunt, has a meat, stew is prepared, and he tells his brother, and he says, okay, give me some stew. I'm hungry. I'm hungry from all this hunting and everything. Oh, I'll give you the stew if you give me your birthright. So Esau says, what's my birthright going to, what is any of that going to do? What is my inheritance going to do? I'm hungry right now. I'm famished, right? Like, I'm going to die if I don't have this stew. So he says, sure, take it. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that was a very smart financial decision. And we laugh at that and we look, well, that was silly. I mean, why would somebody give up, you know, you're going to get 2/3 of your dad's inheritance for a bowl of stew? I mean, I don't know, was it Portuguese bean soup, you know? I mean, I made some of that the other day. I was like, broke them out. Okay, I'm not bragging. It was okay. It wasn't like grandma's. It was all right. But no stew is good enough. No soup is good enough. I'm going to give the money away. You know what I'm saying? But he gave it away. You say, I don't need this, right? And you guys might look at that and go, well, that's kind of a weird illustration. Until you understand what he's talking about, what he's saying, for you, it might not be a soup or a stew, but it's some temporary satisfaction. Maybe there's an opportunity that you have that God has given you. He wants to bless you with an opportunity, maybe to minister to you, maybe for you to minister to somebody else. There's a spiritual opportunity comes with a blessing, both not only in heaven, but you'll be blessed in this life too, and I'll explain that in a minute. But often we, as Christians, when we become weary, we might give up the temporary, we might give up the eternal or the spiritual for the temporary. We say, well, I'm too tired to go to that Bible study. I got a thing, otherwise I'd do this ministry. You know, and I'm not saying like our lives aren't busy. We can go the other way and we get so busy in ministry that we just burn out, yeah? But that's not most people's problem. Most of us struggle with maintaining the balance with our family, our work, you know, ministry and all these kinds of things. But we can get into a mode where we're just, I know Jesus, I'm good. And we miss these blessings, these opportunities to reach out to people, because I'll tell you, there is nothing like it when God uses you to touch the life of another person. And how do you get to that point where you can help that person? Is you're going to a Bible study, you're getting discipled by somebody, or you're involved in a ministry and you're learning and you're growing, right? And then God's going, okay, I'm going to give you an opportunity, and you begin to reach out. I've been in ministry about 30 plus years. I cannot count all the blessings that God has brought. And I am constantly blessed as I see people go out and do things that beyond this place. And I think, wow, I was for a moment able to touch their lives. It was all God, but I was able to be used. And that builds my faith and that strengthens me, because I know there's a purpose for my life. And when I know that there's a purpose in my life, I'm not, when things, hard things come, I'm not, well, what's going on? And why am I going through this? I can deal with the stuff of life. I can have a solid, unshakable foundation upon which I stand, because I know that he put me here for a reason. And no matter how hard it gets, I can keep my eyes on him and go, I am yours. Father, what will you have of me? And again, don't look to me. I'm just saying that often it's so easy. I'm not talking about sin. There is sexual, he mentioned sexual immorality and that and unholy things. But what he's also talking about is just the day-to-day stuff. There was nothing sinful about stew, okay? And there's a lot of things that we do in this life that aren't sinful. It's just that maybe God has a different opportunity for you. He wants to bless you with an opportunity to touch somebody else's life. And you're like, no, that's okay. And after a while, those blessings are going to people all around you. They're getting blessed. They're getting their faith strengthened. They're growing up in Christ. And you're going, that's okay. But then when the hard things hit, you're freaking. You're going, what's going on? You see, part of having that unshakable foundation is knowing that God's got you here for a purpose, and that faith is built up in you. Faith is a mysterious thing, but what Jesus is always getting at is as we do these things, as we minister, as we reach out to the people around us. And you don't have to be a pastor or a ministry leader. You can just be available. Some of you guys that are retired, you're going to all kind of Bible studies and conferences. I know, because on the Facebook, so-and-so attended this conference. I'm like, that's interesting. That's good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. You know, I mean, God smiles on that, because what? You're going out and you're learning and you're growing, and then you turn around and you take the opportunity to touch people. Some of you guys are going out to the bus stops, or you're getting on the bus and you're handing out tracts and going, wow, I know sometimes, wow, that's bold. But maybe bold for you is just praying with somebody at your workplace that's hurting. Someone's crying and you go ask them, hey, you okay? Oh, no, something happened. My boyfriend, this, that, whatever. And you pray with them. And that lifts their spirit. Now, you might not have preached the whole message, you know. You're not going to roll up in a pulpit and start preaching to them. But you just, you were available, and you touched their lives. Now, This is what's interesting. You know, our inheritance when we get to heaven, it's not gold. You know that, right? Store up your treasure in heaven. It's not literally like gold, because gold supposedly paves the streets of heaven. It's not worth anything up there. Your inheritance, get this, gang. Our inheritance is every life that you have touched while you have lived on this earth. That is your inheritance. You will take all of that with you to heaven. You cannot even imagine what awaits you. As tired as you might feel sometimes, as weary, as beat up as you might feel, be encouraged. Every good thing that is done, you store up treasure in heaven. Every good thing that you do for another, every word of encouragement, every prayer that you pray for somebody, every gift financially you give to someone, buying groceries or whatever, everything that you do in this life counts up to your inheritance in heaven. But how you get blessed here and now is you stand on a much stronger foundation. When things hit, and they will hit, if they have not, things are going to hit. And you're going to be a little shaky, but you will not fall. And the reason you will not fall is because you know who you are in Jesus Christ. You know the kingdom you are a part of. And you know that you are working for the King. And your inheritance is in heaven, so you will not be shaken. Amen? Let's pray.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless, and have a great week in the Lord.